Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. How the devil are we all? Oh, it seems to be a happy, happy chat box so far, with a lot of mention of cojones. I wonder how Troy Deeney's feeling right now. Screw him. Okay, guys, today I'm joined by John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hi, Jace. How you doing, mate?
Not too bad, pal. Not too bad. I'm two wins on the bounce. Whoa, we're going to win the league.
I'm so confused. I don't, two wins in a week. Check 200th clean sheet. I don't know what to say anymore. I'm so used to being negative. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this properly.
So those in the chat box, we were just discussing in our group. John was like, about time. Should have seen this coming. All game, I was winding Josh up. Poor Josh. Poor Josh. I should apologise to him, but fuck him. He's a good lad, but we wound him up a treat. And it's one of those days. It's one of those days. Also today, from the other side of the pond, we have the Colonial Khan. And are you Shreds? You all right, mate?
Yeah. This is my first pod after a win this year. So I can finally be positive and not regurgitate the same shit I've said on every other pod. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, there hasn't been that many wins this season, has there? Let's be honest.
It's not.
Okay, let's go straight to the chat box then. Archie was first in today. Hello, Archie. Then we got Lambs, Timmy, Toby, A.N. Sorry, guys. I've got to scroll down here. So it's going to take it's a pain in the backside. J-Rob, Sidhu7549, Sefo Kaya, Ashley Morris, Srinath Murali, K-Man1867, Lossless! Carly Joel Guna, Twinji Samuel, EC is there, Marquis Hodges is there, Danny the GFP, he's there, he is there, Danny the GFP, the main man, Krishan Pandaya, Pablo Amar is always there, to be fair. I think I could close my eyes and mention his name, and the man is always there. Daniel Cronin is there. MJL is there. I'm going up and down here like a bloody yo-yo. I do apologize, guys. A couple more shout outs now, and we'll be on our way. C27549, J Rob, Marco Bricks UK, AFC Cam, Abuba 7. To Jesse Rao. I think that's right. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Unique 79, Ant CL 1082. I've said the AFC Cam. Squires 2 for you. Carly Duel Guna. Oh, God. I tell you what. I can't take it. Two wins in the trot. I just don't know what's happening. Matthew Stern is there. Akib Alias. Abdul Farah. Path Sane's there. Hold up, there's somebody I've missed. Honestly, I tried to get a bean. I do apologize, but I tried to get a bean. Booba 7, I think I mentioned you. Ashley Morris, Andy Rhodes. Please, everybody say hello to Andy Rhodes. It was his birthday yesterday. Wish him a happy birthday. Arul Selvan Jaya Balan. I think that's right. Gunner 93. Oh, do you know what? Asuma Zaka, Kashif Hamed. Ah, oh, happy days. Arul Selvan Jayabalan. Sorry, guys. Right. Okay, let's get on with this. Is it Jackosaurus is there as well? Ah, oh, I can't get over it. It's a Sunday. It's a 1:30 kickoff. We win. Combined with that, got a penalty save. Would you believe it? A penalty save. I just don't get it. What the hell is happening? Jeffrey O'Hara's there. Come on then, guys. Let's get our cojones out and let's get going. John, to you first. Lineups.
The lineup. I thought, nice to see Maitland-Niles at right back. I know lots of people have been calling for that for a while to rotate for Hector. It seemed the obvious one. You know, I think Chambers has done okay there when he's played, when he's been brought in now, but Maitland-Niles has got the pace, and you've got to deal with that today because Watford do have Pereira and he's the Brazilian bloke who likes to fall over a lot.
Richarlison.
Yeah. Who, despite his falling over, is still very quick and he's tricky. So you've got to have that recovery pace. Thought that was smart. Clear that, you know, the Europa League is the main focus because, you know, he's rested. Ramsey not in the squad at all, totally rested. Jack on the bench. Who else was taken out? Chambers, Welbeck, obviously, because he's our only option up front. So, you know, he's already looking ahead, which I think is the right thing to do. It is our best chance to get Champions League next year, for next season, sorry. But, you know, we still had Ozil, we got Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan in. So it was still a pretty strong squad. The only disappointment for me was that we didn't maybe get to see Reece Nelson from the start. I just thought just because of where we are in the league at the moment, there is an argument that you could put one or two of the younger kids in. Not too many. You don't want to put loads of them out there because you don't want to just throw them out, lambs to the slaughter kind of thing. But just give them a chance to play, show what they can do, you know, and maybe they can get themselves in a position where they can challenge for a Europa League spot, whether it's on the bench or starting or something. And in particular with Reece Nelson, just because, you know, there is a lot of talk about is he going to sign a new deal or not. And I don't want to let another, you know, young promising talent go because we haven't treated him the right way or given him the time or chance to play.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to be honest with you with some of our selections at the moment. I'm a bit surprised he hasn't been given a go. But, you know, it's quite obvious we don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know what the conversations are between the management and Reece. You know, hopefully there's a constructive conversation going on behind the scenes, which is going to develop him properly, because we can see by certain players struggling at the moment and struggling very badly. You know, that too much can come too soon. Jace, game kicks off. There were an awful lot of empty seats at the stadium today.
Yeah, I think nobody's showing up to protests outside of the stadium, but I think the protest of not showing up to the match and, you know, probably a bunch of general sale tickets not being sold before the game as well. That's the new protest now. And I think the fans have every right to do that. I think probably for our club, with our ownership and our board, that's probably the most effective means of protest as well, as hit them where they really care. That's in the bank account in the bottom line. At the same time, it's tough because, you know, I'm a supporter. I would love to be able to have the opportunity to go to the Arsenal week in and week out and watch those matches. But at the same time, if we do still want change, and I'm not trying to get all negative here. I mean, we just won 3-0, so, you know. But if we do want the change, I think a majority of the fans want, we've got to find the right way to send that message to ownership. I think while it's unfortunate that we're put in this situation, I do think this is the type of protest that ownership will take note of. But it's on the other hand, it's disappointing to see. But it looks like the crowd that was there today was definitely behind the boys, and that's the most important thing. Is if you are still going to show up there and you are still going to you know, put your butt in the seat, make sure that you support the boys for the full 90 minutes out there. And I think we saw that today. And I think, you know, that's one thing. It's interesting the way that the club keeps spinning it, though. They announced, I think, like 59,000 in the stadium today, which I think just like we know that it's not. Like, I mean, it's not even close enough to spoof your numbers. As somebody who used to work for a football club, you know, it's getting kind of lame there. Jace, you're on mute if you are trying to talk, by the way.
Cheers, Bob. But Sheds, we all know those are the tickets sold, season tickets, etc. We all know that every club does that. It's pointless going over
that. The club I used to do that. The club, but yeah. I mean, come on, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Okay, question to you both, and I want one-word answers from the both of you on this. Is it a protest or is it apathy? Jace, you first.
50-50. I think some of the fans are protesting, and I think some of the fans, it is apathy. Okay. Also, go ahead. Yeah. One-word answer. My bad. I'm not going to carpenter this.
I agree with Jace. I think it's both.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. Right, I'm just going to give a quick couple of shout-outs. Stephen Edwards is in the box. Thunder Road, Rudy Rastloss. And there's Dom Lloyd. He lives in Cardiff. He's a Hertfordshire boy, but he lives in Cardiff. So, Dom Lloyd, welcome to the show. We started off quite well, John. Aubameyang gets an early effort of an Ozil pass. We start applying pressure, and before you know it, we take the lead. Ozil free kick, Mustafi goal. Seen that somewhere before the season, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. It was weird seeing the goal because I missed the first like 2 minutes, so I ended up seeing it back on the replay. So I saw the Aubameyang chance, and I was disappointed he didn't make more of it, to be honest. But you know, it's early in the game, but you still want him to do a little bit better. He did work the keeper at least, but the goal itself, the defending was shocking, and it was reminiscent of some of the stuff that we've done this season, to be honest. But full credit, Mustafi. You know, Ozil puts in a great ball. And it's all about, as you know, one, we actually get good delivery, which we haven't done a lot this season from set pieces. We've been pretty woeful from it. And Mustafi attacked the ball well. It was like the goal he scored. Was it against Spurs, I think? Yeah, Rudy's just put it in the chat.
Yeah.
But he took it really well. And look, even if you're not getting pressured, you've still got to do the job and put it on target. And he connected brilliantly with it, put it in the perfect position in the goal. Keeper had no chance to get there. But the defence was absolutely shocking from Watford. And it's the one that I didn't expect us to be able to score a goal like that against them, to be honest. I thought, if anything, we'd get something from open play just because they are such a big physical team. I thought in the air, we'd probably struggle a little bit. But like perfect, got the crowd on side, got everyone excited a little bit, and the players looked happy. And like you said, the way they started the game as well, they were very confident. We were passing the ball a lot quicker than we had done in previous league games. And just that, the sort of belief from the Milan game and the way we controlled it seemed to carry over into today, which, you know, is really pleased for, because although the league is kind of done to an extent, you know, in terms of what we can realistically do in it, you still want to keep getting results to try and carry the form and the momentum into the Europa League games.
Yeah. You know, it's strange how one win and one performance can galvanize you so much. Jace, you know, we continue to have pressure after the goal. You have Aubameyang had a chance from Kolasinac. Iwobi had a chance. And then Ozil basically one-on-one on the keeper. Did he bottle it? What was the score? Because it was a very, very poor miss.
Yeah, it was, unfortunately, he had a lot of space to sort of go either side of him and chose to go try to go through him, unfortunately, which I still don't think that Ozil's comfortable shooting, which, you know, that can be criticized all you want. He's a brilliant passer of the ball, though. But no, we had our opportunities there. We were always either just a yard off, or the ball was just a bit too quick, or again, we just sort of bottled it. I definitely think that, you know, as much stick as we may want to give Mesut for that, the miss there, he just broke the record for fastest Premier League player to 50 assists of all time. So put that in your beard and smoke it, John.
I think he still should have fucking scored.
I'd rather 50 goals and 50.
We can't have our cake and eat it too, Jace.
Let's be quite frank, okay? Mesut Ozil is not great in front of goal. We see it time and time and time again. Okay, and that's going to come back and bite us in the arse sooner or later. And a player of his quality should be more effective in front of goal. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely. He had so much time, and his touch was brilliant. The way he took it away from the defender, you know, it was really nice build-up play as well. But whenever he gets in front of goal, I don't feel confident when he's got the ball in front of goal, and it's so annoying because other than that one little blip, I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah,
he really imposed himself today. He was aggressive in what he was doing. You know, he was shouting at, you know, other players for, like, if they were placing a pass and displacing, you know, like previous games, you'd see him if a pass was misplaced or not where he wanted it, it wouldn't be anger or aggression. He'd look up and his eyes would roll and sort of shrug his shoulders and walk back. And today he was getting irate and really up for it. That's what I want to see from him. And I know it's not necessarily in his character all the time, but if he does that, because he expects very high standards from himself, he should expect that from the others around him. And he has to back that up and say that to them. because that's the only way you can drill it into some players. So I thought other than that miss, he had a really, really good game, but he's got to do better there. So I don't know, maybe you could do some, you know, extra training. You know, we all read about players like Bergkamp and stuff who would stay behind and practice free kicks or finishing or certain passes and that kind of thing. I'm sure Meza is the kind of, you know, footballer who wants to be the best. So that's something he could definitely practice.
He would have more impact on games in that respect. And it's so frustrating. You look at his quality, you look at his craftsmanship on the ball, and he's a wonderful player. And it was nice to see that aggression, and it was nice to see him, you know, react very well to the miss, I think, you know. But still, you know, a player of his quality has got to be scoring that, you know.
I think he tries to get too tricky at times, Jace. I think he tries to overthink it instead of just putting it to the back of the net. He tries to do the little dinks and you know, stuff around the keeper, and it just doesn't come off for him.
Maybe, mate. But, you know, you have to affect the game more. You know, football's about scoring goals, and therefore, you know, you have to affect the game more. And, you know, it hurts to watch him miss a chance like that. But it's very positive when you see his reaction afterwards, you know. So, you know, there's two sides to the coin in it. The game then, Jace, it lost a bit of structure, and Watford came back into it. They had a series of corners. Our defending was effective, not confident at times, but we got the job done. And then we have a check save from Richarlison from a poor Iwobi clearance. Did we ride our luck, you know, or do you think we were a bit more confident than I thought we were in defense?
Confidence is definitely hard to judge. I will say the one thing I think we did better in this match as well, especially during that spell, and I saw it as well against Milan, was the fact that when we do give the ball away these last couple of games, we seem to be pressing instantly instead of dropping back a little bit and see what they do. And I think that's slowing their breaks down a little bit more and letting us get back and be a little bit more organized. I think we saw that more so against Milan than we did today. But as far as when you are giving the ball away, and I know Mkhitaryan had, I think, like it was like 13 giveaways in the first half or something like that. Iwobi was giving the ball away. I was really pleased with what I did see, specifically in the first half, from Mustafi and Holding, who's, you know, had a few minutes, I believe, against Milan, and now coming in today. So you like that? I think Mustafi really sort of took the team on his shoulders defensively today, because he really put in a great shift, and I think probably with him it was more about confidence. And I do think anytime you win against a team who does have, and Watford has some talent, Richarlison, while he does dive, like John said, he is pacey, and he can get past players. But I think we won. We're set up with the right players in the right position with Maitland-Niles down the right-hand side. I think Kolasinac had a good game defensively, and I think they used sort of that first little bit to gain some confidence, and then it was just weathering the storm that we probably knew that they were going to bring, and I think we weathered it well. And I think you saw a little bit more, like you said, even for Mesut Ozil, you just saw a little bit more passion out there today to get back defensively. Mkhitaryan was huge on a couple of times closing down Richarlison as well on the right-hand side when they got the ball in dangerous areas. So, I think we had some confidence. I do think there's still a little bit of luck, but I think you've said it before on here, you make your luck, and I think we did that today defensively.
Yeah, I thought, even though, you know, there's some players who had, I'm going to mention it in our group, I thought Mkhitaryan did a strange game. A really strange game. As Josh pointed out, he got kicked all over the park today. He was very effective and looked really good at certain times. And then he just gave the ball away cheaply. But I think that wasn't just a one-off for Mkhitaryan. I think there's a few players like that who had issues in that respect. John, on the defence, you had Maitland-Niles. You had... holding as the youngsters. How do you felt they played today?
I thought they were pretty good. I thought Mustafi covered holding very well, directed him about quite nicely. Cech has become more vocal than he has been in the past. You know, he's clearly trying to help this defence that hasn't been playing great. But I think they were helped a lot by the midfield today. I was really impressed. Holding got caught out of position a couple of times, and it was Granit Xhaka who, you know, has been criticised a lot this season, fairly, I think. But he was getting back and covering, you know, covering that space that Holding perhaps should have been in. Elneny again today as well, I thought was really, really impressive. That really helped the defence. But the best thing for me was the way Mustafi sort of responded to his critics, because he has been all over the shop in terms of performances this season. You know, and he's got this tendency to dive into challenges, and he really likes to go to ground and throw himself in certain shots and stuff like that. He's very brave, and I like that, but sometimes you've got to be a bit smarter. And I thought he led the defense really well today. I thought Maitland-Niles, other than the penalty, did pretty well up against some tricky wide players. And Kolasinac looked much more like the player we thought we'd signed than we had seen in the previous sort of run of games, where he'd been a bit out of form. You know, he was an absolute monster, particularly going forwards. And I loved his little scrap towards the end with Okaka, who he just threw to the ground like he was absolutely nothing.
Well, you're not going to get into a row with him, are you? You know,
I thought the defence was really good today. I thought Mustafi played very, very well.
I think this
they dealt with Troy Deeney, which, you know, as much as obviously we're going to take the piss out of him and his lack of cojones, but he is a difficult striker to play against. He is a pain in the ass.
To be fair, you know, we went for Genie to get today. Mm-hmm. We went for him, which was really nice to see. And the only time I've seen us do that this season, we went for Andy Carroll, Holding and Chambers. Yeah. They absolutely went for him when he came on against West Ham in the League Cup, and they destroyed him, to be fair. I think when we look at Mustafi, yes, he will make a rash decision every now and again. He does go to ground too quickly, but he is the one true player in our back four who actually communicates and organises. He's the only one. You know, you don't get off Koscielny. Pear is gone now. So, you know, he's the only leader in that back four. And whether people like it or don't like it, that's a fact. You know, he's the one guy who communicates. You know, it was a really decent, I think you're right about Xhaka coming back and helping out. And yeah, Maitland-Niles, what I really like about him is there's an honesty to his game. He frustrates the hell out of me because he's so relaxed.
Yeah.
But you know, you saw him make a challenge, the ball goes out, they get a throw in, and he's pointing himself, it came off me. It came off me. And I like that about him. I find it very endearing. I think, you know, he's far too cool for school. But, you know,
he does look, he's very comfortable for someone that young on the pitch, isn't he? Which is a little bit worrying. You think, I don't think it's arrogance.
No,
I just think he's very level-headed. Yeah, you know, he's practically horizontal with how relaxed he is at times.
He's too cool for school.
But the good thing here that he's got is that if he does make this mistake, which a couple of times he went in for a challenge and missed it, he had the recovery pace to then get back and then block a cross. He did it a couple of times against Hollabas. You know,
he's got the conviction and attitude, hasn't he? Yeah. He's got that in spades. Right, that was the end of the first half. Right, guys, to the chat box. Michael Hahnemann's there. Unique 79. Seth Okaya, Dom Lloyd. We've mentioned Dom already. Damien Kokan, Stefan Selby, Rudy Rastlos, Ryan Cost. J-Rob, get two shouts, J-Rob. You get two. It's because you're cool. MSM25 to mention, but if I've missed you, I do apologise, guys. Right, as we say every podcast, guys, give up the time to do this. It's Mothering Sunday. There are three mums who are very upset right now because we can't be bothered to take him out for lunch. What can I say? You should give us a like up, a thumbs up, if just for that. We would really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Jay, on to the second half. we see an early Xhaka shot. A nice effort, to be fair. We didn't come out with great conviction. They came out more aggressive than we were. But then it wasn't long before Aubameyang gets another goal. And I think he needed that. A really nice piece of play. Talk me through it.
Yeah, no, it was great build-up. And I believe it was Mkhitaryan who sort of, I forgot exactly what it was that made the tackle and got the ball to him. Picks a setup, though, finds Aubameyang on the run there. And my only fear was that Aubameyang was headed towards Iwobi. And I'm not trying to pile on the guy. But my first thought was, if you give him the fucking ball, I am going to flip out. And luckily he didn't, and he scored, and it was a beautiful backflip celebration. Yeah, and it is needed. I mean, let's not act like Aubameyang's really been in the league with us for a long time now. I think this is only, his sixth or seventh game with us, if that. So it's really good to see. There were some times today, honestly, where I still think he's coming to terms with the physicality of the Premier League when he was, I think, in my opinion, bossed off the ball just a little easily. But he's showed the runs that he made today, especially the very first opportunity that he had with Mesut Ozil was just sublime. And it was a really good save by their keeper. But on the goal, absolutely, for him and Mkhitaryan to sort of almost pick up right where they left off on some of these matches. We saw it against Everton, obviously, today. For them to pick up right where they left off, it was absolutely wonderful and really just sublime to see us, again, sort of being able to win the ball in the midfield and quickly turn and use our pace to attack a back line and get them out of position and score a goal. It was Arsenal of old. It was absolutely wonderful to see.
Yeah, it was nice. And, for me, it was a beautiful goal we scored. It was quite simple and it just played to his strengths, which we haven't been doing enough of. It's playing to the guy's strengths, which we needed. Before we know it, John, there's a Watford penalty.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this in two parts, okay? And I want you to look at, first of all, the Maitland-Niles challenge on Pereira. Rashness of youth. First time playing right back for us. Does all that come into it? I find it hard to really knock Maitland-Niles on this.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily a rash challenge. Like, it wasn't awful or anything. Like, he didn't swipe out. But I think just Pereira, who... I'm mixed on how good a player he is because I saw him at Juve and he was sort of up and down. But he just went the way, Maitland-Niles tried to show him on the outside. Maybe didn't get quite tight enough to do that. As he's cut back inside, he stuck a leg out to try and get it. And then just, it's a little bit silly. Pereira makes the most of it, which he's going to do. He shouldn't really stick his leg out, but it's inexperience. It's one of those things you're going to learn. Again, we've said this all season, he's playing out of position. Yes, he's a midfielder, so he should still know not to make those kind of challenges, but he's making it in a different position. It's the wrong side of his body. His back slightly turned because he's trying to show him down his right. So I'll cut him a little bit of slack. Probably we're being a little bit more generous because of the result of the penalty itself and what happened with it.
Should he be, he must be aware that he's in the penalty area at that point.
Yeah, it's very tight. It is right on the edge, but he's got to be more aware of where he is in relation to the box and making those kind of challenges. Because I don't have a problem with a defender making a foul, like intentionally making a foul. Because we were talking about, I think it was Mustafi, absolutely just wiped out Richarlison, didn't even look at the ball.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful.
It's all I want to see Arsenal players do in those situations. Just take the man out and take the yellow card because it's the right thing to do. People say, it's professional foul and everything. Yeah, it is. It's sensible.
It's what the opposition does.
Yeah, and it's what all the best teams do. So I think, he's tried to make an honest challenge there and he's messed it up, basically. Luckily it hasn't cost us in the game. So I think he gets away with it a little bit.
Now, the second part of this, I'm going to stick with you on this one. My notes say check saves, check saves, check saves. First penalty save for the Arsenal from Troy Deeney, Mr. Cahoney's himself. Now, I've seen it said here that it was a poor penalty. Mm. I thought he was trying to be clever. I think he meant to put it where he's put it. I think Czech's just got to it. Go.
Yeah, the commentary I had, they were talking about Troy Deeney's penalties, and he puts them all down the middle, pretty much. It's just what he does. He just normally really levers it right down the middle. I don't think he got hold of it as best he could, but I hope that Czech had, you know, done some research. I'm sure he had done. He's an intelligent guy, you know, and Deeney is always going to be the one who takes the penalties. He probably thought before the game, oh, we're playing up against that Richarlison bloke who dives a lot. So, you know, they might get one. And he went the right way. It was a good height for him. But it's not just the fact that, you know, it was technically an easy penalty to save, so to speak. It's the way he got the ball away and he pushed it away. And he just needed that confidence. And when the camera panned to like Jens Lehmann as well, you saw him in the stands. He was really happy. He was laughing and smiling because he knows it. We had Rami on the show, didn't we, a while ago? And he was talking about how, you know, a goalkeeper is no different than any other position on the pitch. You need confidence. And when you get that first one, then it just fills you with that bit of confidence. You know, I thought Czech actually had a good game today. He made some good saves. Obviously saved the penalty, which is brilliant. And just the fact it was Deeney as well. Just because I'm sure all the players, you know, they all wanted to get him. Jack was like tweeting a picture from training saying, we'll see if we can show our Cahoney's little winky face and everything tomorrow in the game. And even Wenger in his post-match conference, he said, you know, it's a brilliant achievement by Czech. Quite nice. He said quite nice, but he said something about it being Troy Deeney taking the penalty. That was it. It was quite fortunate it was against Deeney as well, was what Arsene Wenger said. You know, which is great because, you know, Deeney's comments, obviously, after the last game really did roll, you know, Arsene up, the fans up, and the players. You know, they got really hurt by that.
Let's be honest, okay? It's unprofessional what he said. Okay, it shows a lack of respect for other professional players. And the cunt got his comeuppance today, and good enough for the piece of shit. He's not battering fucking students, you know. He's hamming it up on the football pitch. I got no time for him. You know, there were some nice moments in the game, but screw him.
Speaking of cunts, Spurs are now 1-0 down, by the way, to Bournemouth.
Arsene said, you cannot be a sportsman without pride. And he was talking about Deeney. So, yeah, that comment obviously really did upset not just the manager but the team as well because they were all very happy with it. It's great for Czech. He is, you know, he's not been at his best this season, to be fair. But the defence that's been in front of him in the midfield have not done him any favours whatsoever. So I'm so happy he got the 200th clean sheet because I really didn't think it was going to happen. One of those running jokes, you know, I thought was going to go on forever.
I think that's a big thing, though, isn't it? You know, I mean, the defence in front of him has been not poor, but a disaster at times.
Yeah.
And that comes from the very top of the pitch, not just the midfield as well, you know, up front, all the way back to the midfield and the defence. And, you know, it's been detrimental to a very good goalkeeper in Peter Cech, and obviously his confidence must have been shot at times. But Jace, that penalty save seemed to give the team and the crowd a massive, massive boost. It was almost like scoring a goal.
Yeah, it was. And I think that's probably why the fans are as frustrated as they are with Cech in his lack of penalty saving ability with us, because he saved a lot of penalties when he was with Chelsea. But it can turn a match around if you save a penalty, and I think we saw that today, and it gave us a little extra wind in our sails to see the game out. And you could see the relief on his face immediately after as well, which was great to see. But absolutely, it's such a big momentum swing when that happens. I think at that point we all were resolved that no matter what happens, a ball is not going in the back of our net today, and we're going to get that 200th clean sheet for Petter there, and it was absolutely lovely to see. And yeah, I definitely think we kicked on there. Our passing got a little bit more crisper, and obviously we had a few more chances, which I'm sure we'll discuss, as well as a little controversy. But yeah, it was absolutely wonderful to see. And I have zero issues with if it being easy or whatever. You can only save what's in front of you, and he did it today.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, you know, a player of his caliber with a career he's had, etc., the last couple of months must have been pretty horrific for him. And to see him come back and that penalty save, he'll be chuffed with himself tonight. 200 clean sheets in the Premier League. That's a hell of a milestone. I don't care what teams you're playing for. That is a real achievement and a fantastic achievement for the man. And congratulations to him, because I think he deserves it. We've mentioned Xhaka already, John, but he makes a mistake deep inside his own half, gives the ball away, but makes a great recovery to win the ball back and play at the defence. Did that sum up his game today?
Yeah, I think there was that occasion and maybe one or two others where he had a little loose pass. But other than that, I thought his range of passing again was superb today. He had that nice shot as well that the keeper nearly spilled over himself into the goal. But he's like covering the defence and getting back the tackles he made today, blocking the space. Just he was really, really good today. And it does make me happy, because he has got lots of stick, and I've given it to him as well. And I do think partly it's down to lack of coaching on certain things. And I think also, you know, positional, like where he's being positioned on the pitch, and some of the people he's been paired with as well hasn't always worked so well. But today I thought he was really, really good. You see what he gets when he has someone next to him who can run a lot and cover a lot of ground. You know, his best games for us have been when he's been next to Ramsey. Today he had Elneny, who not the same skill set, but does the same thing in terms of distance he can cover and the pace at which he could do it, and just helping him out and always giving him an easy ball if he needs it. And I just thought he was great today. And when you've got Xhaka on Song and he's playing at his best, it's very easy to dictate the pace of the game, because he can just control the midfield and just pass it around. And, you know, I'm really pleased for him and the way he performed midweek as well against Milan. So I hope we start to see more of that from him, because when he first came into the team, I think everyone really liked him, and everyone's a bit down on him at the moment. I've seen some people saying he's like the worst midfielder Arsenal's ever signed, which is ridiculous.
I think if you look at his stats in comparison to a certain other midfielder the club has, who's a bit of a darling with the fans, you would see a bit of a different story, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know some people don't like looking at just stats, and they go, well, I saw him do this in a performance, and he gave the ball away here, or, you know, it's very easy to just focus on the negative things. And trust me, I know that, because it's generally what I tend to do. But I think when you look at the distance he covers, the passes he makes, his pass completion, who makes the most forward passes in the team as well, things like that. It's not just, you know, he's made 200 passes or whatever it is, you know, it's more about what kind of passes he makes. That's what interests me. And you know, the fact that today he was doing a covering job, which is not his game. That still really isn't his game. That sort of, you know, getting back and covering and making those kind of tackles, that's not his best ability. So the fact he did it so well today was really good.
Cheers. I was watching Sky Sports before kickoff, and Tim Sherwood made the statement that Decore, who's a very fine player for Watford, is better than anything the Arsenal have in midfield. And then Elneny and Xhaka go on to dominate Decore today. Do you think Tim Sherwood should be on Sky Sports saying stupid stuff more often? Jess, are you on mute?
I pulled a Welsh justice there and muted myself. So Tim Sherwood is, he could absolutely go on there and sort of be the prophet of doom for himself there and continue to project poorly upon Arsenal. We'll continue to probably, you know, do whatever we can to prove him wrong, because he's proven wrong quite often. And there's a reason that he's no longer on a touchline, that he's being paid a lot of money, unfortunately, to say stupid things. I mean, fair play to him if he's you know, if somebody's dumb enough to pay him for his stupid opinions. There's a reason why he's not on a touchline anymore. And I think that opinion shows you why.
Yeah.
Because I was really happy to see Elneny in the starting lineup today, because I absolutely feel like in the performances he's had recently, he deserved a game in the league. And I hope he can continue to build on it. You know, he may have got himself a spot in for, you know, in the for you, I want to say Champions League, but it's not. It's stupid Europa League. But in Europa League on Thursday, you know who that may be. In spite of is up in the air right now. But I definitely think that Elneny and Xhaka, together, while they are similar, I definitely, you know, I'm not as fearful as I maybe was a few months ago of them playing together. I think the biggest thing in two performances where we've had three in the midfield, Ozil playing just a little further back, you know, closer to Elneny and Xhaka, and you know, Xhaka in with Ramsey on Thursday. I don't know quite what's changed there, but Xhaka seems to have a little bit more discipline. And I think that's one of the keys here. And I don't know if it's maybe after his, you know, it came out and leaked to the press that he was frustrated about not being coaching. Maybe he's getting a little bit more of that now, maybe in some one-on-one stuff with Bould or one of the other assistants, maybe after, you know, training and Wenger's not there to see. But I'm absolutely loving the way that they're playing right now. And I think three at the midfield definitely suits both Elneny and Xhaka. And it's just figuring out what partner is best for them. And in my opinion, Jace, you'll enjoy this. It's most likely going to be Ramsey and then moving Ozil back further up the pitch.
Dude, there's no argument who's the best midfielder in the club, okay? And before anybody says anything stupid, just look at the stats. I'm so done with this argument. It's pointless. It's pathetic. There's one great midfielder at this club, and end of story, forget it. Chase, I'm going to come to you again now, then yep. I'm going to pass on to John. I want both your opinions on this, lads. Mkhitaryan takes the ball into the box, makes the pass, and then Mariapa takes him out. It is the clearest penalty I have seen. You know, is it as clear a penalty as the Maitland-Niles one? Why is it not given?
I'll start with this, and that's because Mike Dean doesn't know what he's doing.
It was Martin Atkinson today, man.
Him too. Either one, they look the same. They're both short, bald, white guys. Neither one of them know what they're doing. Did I just Oxlade Chamberlain, Gibbs, two Premier League referees here? But no, it was a clear penalty. His legs were clearly taken out after the ball had been gone for a few yards away from him and just got both his ankles. And I don't know what in the world Atkinson was doing there. But he just wasn't going to give it, but it was stonewall penalty. Stonewall. No question about it.
John, how can Atkinson wave that on? How?
I'll try and be polite. He's a Wally. I don't know.
You know, genuinely, I don't think he had a bad game. This is the only decision where I can turn on and say, what are you doing?
I don't know. The thing with whenever we look at referees' decisions, and there have been some really bad ones this season, not just for us, but for like every team in the league. I think the standards really dropped this year for some reason. They have to take, in particular with penalties, if there's a doubt, then they don't give it. And I think they're very reluctant to book a player for a dive as well. They don't like to do that. I think because of this retroactive thing that's been brought in where you can look back and then book people after and give them bans. I think that's kind of taking the pressure off referees from that as well. It's disappointing. He didn't give it. The linesman's close as well there. Okay, he's the other side of it, but should still be able to see the challenge. I don't know why. I didn't see his exact angle on it. sometimes they just happen, don't they?
But come on,
I mean, in the end, it didn't affect us in the game. But no, it should have been given as a penalty. Obviously, there's no doubt about that.
I'm sorry, we've spoken on this show before, okay? And Jace, I want you to come in after John on this. And we keep on saying that there is no conspiracy against the Arsenal, but I can talk about a half a dozen clear-cut penalties that have not been given this season, that if it was United, if it was fucking Dele Alli, they would have been given instantly. So how is that penalty not given? This is the culmination of numerous penalties not given against us, and I'm beginning to get sick and tired of it. And how does Martin Atkinson and these other clowns keep their job when they're not given these penalties?
I think that, you know, if you went round and asked fans of other clubs, I guarantee they would probably say the same thing you're saying now, Jace, about penalties not given, because we don't watch all their games. And I know we're talking about us specifically. And the reason why they keep their jobs is because, believe it or not, it's very difficult to get to that level of goalkeeping. You have to start quite young. So I know a young kid who realised when he was about 16, he was never going to cut it as a professional footballer. But he still wanted to be in football. So he decided, right, I can't be a footballer. I'm not that interested in coaching, so I'm going to be a referee. I was like, fair enough. And he's telling me about it. And he started going to referee, like learning it all when you start level one, and you have to go and referee Sunday League games. Anyone who's played Sunday League football is horrible. It's not nice at all. The pitches are terrible. You don't have linesmen. If you do have a linesman, it's generally one of the players from the other team. You have blokes who are in their 20s up to their 40s, generally hungover, maybe still drunk, probably some of them sort of on drugs. They fight. They're abusive to the referees and everything else. And that's where you start. And you get no support. I've seen referees get beaten to pieces on Sunday League pitches by teams. Yeah. And you have to go all the way through all that process, up and up and up the leagues. And it's not a nice experience. And to be honest, when you start out as well, it's really not worth it for the money you get and the time and effort you have to put in. And I think that that is one reason why there's a lack of people wanting to be referees. You don't see as many. And so there's a smaller pool of referees to choose from.
I respect that. John, I respect that, okay? And I do think it's a thankless... It's an absolutely thankless job being a referee, okay? And I don't want to make too much of it. But when I look at the evidence of this season, I have seen exactly the same incidents for two different teams, and the opposition always gets the decision, and we don't. Okay? That is the evidence on show. Okay? I don't care about other teams. I care about the fact we're getting fucked over on the penalty front time and time and time again. Quick comment to Thunder Road. No, Jeff's not on the pod this week, mate. Saki comment. That's a bit beneath you, pal. Come on, come up with something better. Jace, you know, talking about the penalty situation. What are we doing wrong? Should we be playing for them more? What's up?
Yeah, I actually tend to agree with you, Jace, that there is somewhat of a conspiracy. It's tough in game for a ref to go, all right, this is the Arsenal and I can't give them a penalty if it's clear cut or anything like that. I definitely think there is, ever since I think Wenger has come in and Arsenal has sort of always been seen as the foreign team in the English league, especially in a capital like London. I do think that there have been, you know, the people who maybe don't want to see us succeed as much as other teams who are maybe viewed to be more English around us. And so I do think we sort of have to fight the uphill battle with that. As far as in the game, it's just and I think there have been a couple of times this year when we've even had to admit we got a penalty and we didn't deserve it. The problem is I think you're right. It's the fact that we do more often than not don't get the call. And I think that's what we're all frustrated with. And the Anthony Taylor situation with Wenger a little while ago, that can play into it as well. It's tough. I think it's very difficult in game for referees to say, oh, well, it's this team. I have to lean this way.
I absolutely agree, Jay. Exactly the same incidents.
I would say ours is more clear cut.
Yeah, exactly. But there you go. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Thunder Road comes back with, is John Welsh talking about the barbiturate pirates?
What kind of linesman are you talking about there?
and Cayman 1867. It's not an excuse, mate. It's not an excuse. Refs do have a tough job. And it's not an excuse for our losses. I'm just getting very frustrated at the fact of, yeah, against United, you see Danny Welbeck hacked down, clear as daylight penalty, not given, you know. And there are numerous examples of this throughout the season. So it's just one of a frustration for me at the moment, to be honest with you, pal. So, John, yeah, we carry on the game. We're on top of the game. We're not quite incisive enough. You see Mustafi come off and Chambers come on. Richarlison diving around a bit. We don't see any difference in the defence. I thought Chambers came on and he should link up well with Holding. They've played enough age group football together, but they really linked up well together. They kept the Deeney. And then I put in the group, funny enough, 2 minutes before he scores, Mkhitaryan's having a strange game, and then bingo, he pops up and scores.
Yeah, he did have a really... It's weird to try and rate his afternoon because he's involved in goals and he scores one. I think it comes from Ozil makes a good run, and it might have been Mkhitaryan who found him, actually, on the run. Gets into the box, pulls it across. Karnizes, the goalkeeper, gets a hand to it. Spills out to Aubameyang, who's just got the, you know, presence of mind. He's already looked up, seen Mkhitaryan free, and he gets the shot away. I don't actually think, you know, it was a clean hit, but I don't think it was his, you know, he got it on target and he scored, which was great, but he didn't put it in the best place. I think we got a bit lucky because of where the defender was. The goalkeeper saw it late, but yeah, he had a really weird game because if you said to me, oh, midfielder scores a goal and gets an assist, you know, for a forward-thinking midfielder, you go, oh, great. That's, yeah, top performance. But then you look at it and he gave the ball away a couple of times in midfield in really stupid areas, like little back heels and flicks that he didn't need to do. But then on the other side of it, all of a sudden he's getting back and he's chasing into right back position and making tackles and really getting physical and, you know, being a little bit dirty with some of the tackles as well, little kicks out of people and everything, which I don't have any problem with. I think it's great. You know, maybe you did learn something under Mourinho at United, you know, being a little bit snidey and stuff with some of the kicks. So yeah, he had an odd afternoon, but someone's just 2 goals, 5 assists in 8 appearances. It's pretty good. You know, you can't really complain about it. I do think some of the games he has been a bit quiet. He does seem like he's very much a confidence player to me. And kind of the, like the mood of the team is maybe a little bit dependent on the way he plays. But I like the fact he was very confident on the ball when he got it. He was driving forwards with it. He was always trying to make something happen as well. For me, it was a very good game, you know. But he did a couple of strange things. Cayman's just put Xhaka back heel in our box, showed some cojones. Yeah, that one was interesting as well. Yeah,
there was I noticed that too. I thought,
you know, our players were, you know, like, oh, it's nice that you're that confident, but sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe don't do that. But, you know, they all pulled it off today. But yeah, as good as all Mkhitaryan's forward play was, the thing I enjoyed the most was that he was really up for a scrap today. Liked that. Because I think
his effort in getting back.
Yeah. In other games, sometimes I've seen him at United, at Dortmund as well. When it gets a bit physical, he's tended to hide a little bit. But today he was well up for the scrap and he was really getting stuck in and, you know, having a pop at people. And I really like that. And obviously, yeah, that's not what he's best at. But you've got to have that if you want to get stuff. You know, if you want to win trophies, if you want to go on to win league titles and stuff, you've got to have that side of your game as well. So really, really pleased with that. And the way, you know, the understanding is obviously reconnecting between him and Aubameyang and also with Ozil as well. You can see they tend to, the way Ozil and Alexis used to look at each other, look for each other on the pitch. You can see those two very happy to give each other and lend each other the ball because they know that some, you know, they're going to get it back in exactly the position they want it.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, since he's come, I think there have been a couple of great performances from him. And there have been a couple of very awful performances from him as well. I think there's no doubt, you know, last week he was terrible. He's exactly the player I thought we were getting. He can be magic and he can be dreadful. But yeah, boy, when he's on the ball and he's confident, he's a joy to watch. He really is a joy to watch.
I think the big thing is, you know, with a lot of our players, everything's been so down. And, with the club at the moment and the results we've been getting, you get that Milan result. It's not just the result. It's the way we played. Just lifted everyone. And I think you saw that again today. There was a really good, like, feeling around the squad. You can see it in the pictures from training and stuff. And I think if you get that feeling back, then you get the best out of players. And I don't think it matters how good a player you are, you know, or how good a team you are. If you're on that much of a low, and we were really, you know, near rock bottom with the performances we were putting in, it's going to affect anyone, regardless of how good a player you are.
No, absolutely, absolutely. That's all. The other thing I wanted to mention about the game was Ozil actually clattering Will Hughes. Good enough. Nice. Well done, Mezet. It's nice to see. I want to talk about a couple of players before we go to questions, guys. I don't think it's any surprise that the first guy I'm going to mention is going to be Alex Iwobi. Undoubtedly a talent. Zero influence on this game. Zero. Nothing's coming off for him at the moment. Jace, is it a confidence issue with him? What do you think is going wrong for Iwobi at the moment?
And me and you talked about this sort of pre-show here. I thought he got into some really good areas today. The problem is the guy just couldn't get past the first man with any ball into the box at all. He couldn't deliver it to a teammate, and I think he was trying to overcomplicate it. Then there were a couple of times when he started to pull it back to the corner of the box. I think Mkhitaryan or Ozil would be there, which was probably the smarter move. But I don't know if it's confidence completely. It just doesn't seem to be there. And you're completely right, you know, Jace, when you say that there's no end product from him. There's no assists coming from him. There are no goals coming from him. He's a player that you expect to be that far forward needs to be producing stuff. And he gets in good positions, but then the decision-making just absolutely breaks down and you haven't seen him develop sort of that killer instinct. And I think the biggest thing is, one, it's some confidence issue, but two, I think he's the epitome of the modern spoiled footballer. Wants to spend a lot of, not saying that being on social media is a bad thing, but wants to impress people on social media. It seems more so than he wants to impress people on the pitch. He seems like he's pretty comfortable in the fact that he knows he's most likely going to be on the pitch no matter what, competition we're in. He keeps getting picked, whether it's as a sub or in the starting 11. And he just seems content. He doesn't seem like he wants to grow and develop his game. And as much as we were praising the attitude of Ainsley Maitland-Niles earlier, I think the attitude that Iwobi comes in with is, I've made it, so what more do I need to do? And I think that's why we've seen some stagnation and him not really kicking on.
I've got to be honest, if he put as much effort on the pitch as he does on social media, he'd be worldy. John, you know, you have zero impact going forward from him. You have zero impact going backwards from him. I'd be really interested to see how many tackles he's made this season, how many interceptions, etc. He doesn't seem to, you know, it seems like a token running from him at times. And we have seen that from other players in this team. It's not just about Iwobi. But we are talking about a guy who has real talent and we would all love to see really do well at the Arsenal. How can he change it? How can he change what is happening at the moment? And how is he getting picked? Genuinely, how?
The thing with getting picked, I think we've seen in the past that Arsenal, when a player isn't playing well, he will keep picking him because he'll back him. And he'll back him to sort it out on the pitch. We've seen it with Xhaka this season. We've seen it in the past with Ramsey when he wasn't performing great, you know, and Arsene kept playing him and playing him out of position and just getting him into the team to try and get his confidence back up and get it through. And we're going to see the same thing with Iwobi because he clearly backs him. And I agree, he's got bundles of talent. he's got great ability. I think, you know, when you see him carry the ball, he's fantastic, and he's got great quick feet, but his decision making is so poor at times, and his final ball, it's so disappointing. And again, I think he's a confidence player. This is why I was slightly disappointed about the Reece Nelson thing, because I thought today he could have either come on for
leave Reece Nelson alone. I've got a question about later, please, mate.
But in terms of Iwobi, there's a couple of things you can do. You either stick with what Arsenal's doing now, is just keep playing him, which I don't think is going to work, to be honest. You know, I just think it's he's going to get more and more frustrated, and eventually the crowd are going to start turning on him. Because we know what the Arsenal crowd are like. They'll all turn on a player and he will become Boo Boy's number one. And that is not going to help him. I think you need to take him out of the team for a little bit. You know,
well, he's going to become a Boo Boy because he's not putting the effort going backwards or going forwards.
Yeah.
He plays with no conviction.
But I think sometimes you need to take him out of the team. And, you know, and if he's not in the team for a while, I don't know how much he buys into his own hype and all that superstar thing and everything else. I know he's on Snapchat and all that stuff, but find me a 20, whatever he is, year old.
When you're singing your own name after a win, okay? When you're singing your own name, hello.
Yeah, but you look at all the Muppets at United, like Lingard and Rashford. They're all the same kids that age, though. I just think they've grown up in that culture. So I think maybe you take him out of the team for a while and you say, you know, you've got to work harder. Whether it means like a younger guy comes in and takes his spot, or, you know, Welbeck starts, whatever it is, it's fine. You just do that, because then it puts the pressure back on him and you say, oh, hang on a minute, I've got to really knuckle down in training. I've got to go and ask a Mesut Ozil or a Mkhitaryan, or, you know, what I should be doing in games and that kind of thing. And I really hope that he is using those senior players around him. And even if he's not, I hope those senior pros are going to him in training and saying, you know, Alex, look, you've got to do this a bit more. You've got to do that a little bit more. I watched a thing the other day with Pires talking with Nelson and talking about things to do in games and how he would score goals and get assists and runs and stuff he'd make, and telling him what to do. And I really hope they use those senior players who've done it and experienced, done it all, to improve their game, because that would be a huge disappointment. So I don't want Iwobi to... I don't want to bomb him out of the club.
No.
I think there's a great player there. I think we can have a really, really good player who, you know, he's a player who could be at the club for another 10 years and really do some amazing things for us. But he needs to knuckle down and start working a bit harder.
Let's be fair, okay? The boy's talent is undoubted. You watch his feet. I just want him to play with a bit more conviction. You know, he's a big lad. He's got real size to him. You know, he can take a challenge and he can give one. He's just got to play with more conviction, because it's horrible watching a game and slating him for awful performances. Because you want to be talking these young guys up. You know, it's a pleasure to be able to talk about Maitland-Niles at the moment. He's a great young player, you know. And as much as him being too cool for school frustrates me, I admire it about him. I admire his attitude on the pitch, etc. But with the Iwobi, I find his talent there to admire. Nothing much else at the moment.
Yes, it's like there's some coaching that needs to be done, but it seems like a mentality thing as well.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to stick with you, John, and then back to Jace. I want to talk about Aubameyang.
Mm-hmm.
Very effective today, a goal and an assist. Looked really dangerous using his pace. Do you think he's settling in okay? How do you see it?
Yeah, like Jason said earlier, I think he's still struggling a little bit with the physicality at times. There was a couple of times where he was challenged and shouldered off a little bit too easy. But, you know, strength isn't his big attribute. It is his pace. And his movement off the ball is fantastic. And we've said the same things about Lacazette as well, the movement he's made. But I think the difference between the two is that Aubameyang has the consistent pace. He can do it over more than just 5 yards. He can do it over 10, 20, you know. I would have liked to have seen him score more today. I think he could have had another goal at least. But he started really well. It's helpful that Mkhitaryan's in the team as well to ease in that transition. But also, you know, he came into a team that was in awful form and weren't at all playing well going forwards. You know, the one thing we're sort of famed for. They weren't finding a striker at all. And there was a few times today where, you know, I would have been, if I was him, I would have absolutely screamed my head off at the midfield because he made some great runs and Ozil didn't see it and Iwobi didn't, Mkhitaryan as well. And he had a lot of space to run in behind as well on those couple of occasions. So I'm really impressed with the way he started. I hope he can carry it on. I'm gutted that he can't play for us in the Europa League. It's really disappointing that he's cup tied for that. But no, I'm excited. I really want to see when Lacazette's back, if there's a way we can play the pair of them together in some games. Because I actually think that the two of them could be absolutely disgusting up front. And it would be
why don't you just play Lacazette in that deeper role?
Yeah.
And then behind.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to see that. Just have Lacazette, Aubameyang, Ozil, Mkhitaryan as a four and just say go play. I think that would be
4-2-4.
You know,
John wants to play a 4-2-4.
Some of the best football we've seen for a while, if we can get that to work, it'd be absolutely brilliant. And, the other thing as well is I think it would take a bit of pressure off Lacazette, who has not had the best of times. Having Aubameyang in the team and firing and scoring goals, you know, he can look at him and go, okay, this guy's come in from another league. I can do this as well. I know I can do this. Just the team was on a bit of a downturn when I got here. And when I get my chance, it's going to work out for me. So, yeah, I'm really impressed. And I'm really pleased we got him. I didn't think it was necessarily the correct signing when we made him in the January. I thought there was other positions that were more important to the squad. But he's doing really well. And if he can just keep making the runs like he did today, he'll score goals for fun, easy.
Yeah, Jace, your opinion?
No, I think I agree with what John said there. I think it's going to take him just a little bit longer. I think the fact that we have players who because I think where he really sort of thrived at Dortmund was when they were playing those balls into the channels for him to run on. And I think we have the team around him that can do that. I think Mustafi, as much as people don't like him playing that long ball over the top, he's somebody who's going to look to do that. Mesut Ozil we saw can do that. Obviously Mkhitaryan can. So I think he's definitely, is going to be a great focal point for our attack to do that. And I think what we're going to do is, as he continues to bed into this team, and the players get more familiar with him and he gets more acquainted to the league, we're only going to see better things from him. So I'm really excited about it. And we saw today, even for a striker, he's going to be more selfish, but he also knows when not to be selfish with the wonderful layoff there from Mkhitaryan's goal. That was a great decision to – I've seen a lot of strikers there try and turn and lose the ball and, trying to get their own shot away. But he was unselfish today, and I think that will definitely come to serve him as well as we continue to get into dangerous positions like we were then.
Is he muted again?
Yeah, he's muted again.
Of course I'm bloody muted. What do you think? Of course I'm muted. It was some, I don't know, I enjoyed that. I did enjoy that. I thought Aubameyang's performance was really good today, so it was nice to see. Questions. Let's go to questions. I don't know the hell I am at the moment. Right. Oh, we've asked stuff from League 79. McKeown asks, and this one's for you, John. Maybe discuss Welbeck's impact, if any, and the future for Nelson.
Yeah. So Welbeck, I thought when he came on, was decent. I always like his effort. His running is fantastic. He's a great athlete. And he had a good shot. And he was rightly upset with. Was it Ozil or I can't remember who it was now. He played the ball in for him, but he had to sort of pause his run a little bit and drag it forward, and he got a shot off of his left foot, which is a bit strange for him because normally he has to bounce about and hit him in the face to go in on target. But he got a really good strike on goal, and I like Welbeck, and he gives a lot to the team in terms of some squad depth. I don't think he's the best, striker in the world by any means. I do think that technically, he's lacking serious things. The question mark I had over the decision was, why bring on Welbeck in a game where we're pretty comfortable? I think, was it 2-0 at that point when he came on, I think? You're taking Iwobi off. Welbeck is our only striker, realistically, for the Milan game, other than Eddie Nketiah, who, I love Eddie, but it's a big ask to play against Milan, who are definitely going to want to perform better than they did in the first leg. Why not bring on Reece Nelson? You know, give him some minutes against the team who are at that point. Watford were going forwards, were throwing bodies up there. He's got pace, he's got trickery, he's going to be able to hit him on the counter and really show what he can do, especially at a time when, as you said earlier, Jace, we don't know what's going on with the contracts. You know, we don't know what's being said behind closed doors, but he hasn't signed a new deal. We've seen Marcus McGuain leave, who was very, very highly rated, and he's fair play to him. He's gone to Barca and he started to play. At Barca B, sorry, you know, and he's, you know, and they're really highly rating him. I don't want to see another young player not, you know, not make it Arsenal because, you know, first team squad are struggling and Arsenal's trying to get confidence in them. That would be the worst thing ever, you know, because he could have played over Iwobi today. He could have started.
But is there a case for playing well back to give him minutes to build up his confidence again? You know, you saw Thursday night a vastly improved performance from Welbeck. Regardless of what anybody says about him, that was a good performance.
I thought he was very, very good in the Milan game. I do agree that, okay, that does make sense. But then if that's the case, start Nelson and then bring Welbeck on, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? I just think that there is... Now, look, no one knows how good a player Reece Nelson is going to be. But we've all seen him play. We've all seen what he can do. He's still very, very young. He's got a long way to go in his career. But he's seriously highly rated. And there are a lot of clubs sniffing around him that would happily snap him up now. And I think it would be a mistake to let him go and see him develop somewhere else for the benefit of, say, like we just said, Alex Iwobi, a player who maybe needs to be out of the team for a little bit, you know, and taken away from the limelight and just knuckle down and work hard. And he can look up and go, well, hang on a minute, Reece is getting in the team and he's younger than me. And he's showing what he's doing because he's working really hard. You know, that kind of thing. So I hope we keep him. I really do. I don't want to see him go because I think that would be a big, big mistake.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, right. Jay. David Keith asks, do you see Hector getting back in this team?
I do. As good as Maitland-Niles played today, I think Wenger obviously still has some development in mind for him, or just some time on the bench so he can learn a little bit more. I don't think Bellerin's spot is at all in jeopardy. I think that he's Wenger's guy, and Wenger's going to continue to go to him as long as he can justify it. So, which I don't think is a terrible option either. Hector's, we've not seen sort of the pace that we saw from him earlier in his career after an ankle injury. I think it was, you know, last season, but I still think he's a good right back, and he's just one of those players who's on such poor form right now. But I don't see Hector losing out on a spot to Maitland-Niles.
I think Hector's been resurgent recently, to be fair to him. I think, you know, a lot of the criticism he's come under has been unfair due to obvious issues with regards to the Oxford Union speech, etc. You know, there's a lot of people giving him a lot of stick in regards to that when he doesn't deserve it. Also, you know, you look, he has been playing with an injury. We know there's been something up. Something's been up, sorry. You know, I thought Maitland-Niles, I thought he really did well today. I really enjoyed watching him play. I enjoy his honesty. I enjoy his effort. I enjoy his conviction in the way he plays. But I think when we come up against better opposition, you know, you will see him exposed. You know, he's learning the game. And I think let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. Junior Gunner's talking about wonder what in AMN and Deeney were discussing. I don't know, but it was actually quite nice to see them both smiling and having a chat. There was a nice moment, to be fair to Troy Deeney. There was a nice moment between him and Mustafi as well when Mustafi was down injured. Mm. You know, he may not be the prick he makes himself out to be, but who knows. John, on to you for the next question, mate. Here we are. K-Man 1867. Actually, we'll all answer this. What was your favourite football game you've ever attended?
Oh, John, wow. Jesus. actually, it's not an Arsenal game, weirdly. It is, I can't even remember the names of the teams. So it was like 12th division or something like that. But it was seeing my nephew making his debut as a semi-pro for a, you know, like a Saturday team in whatever tier of football it is, in goal. And he was only 16 playing with men. 16 years old, tall but quite skinny, little ginger kid, in goal for a men's team, screaming his head off at them and the defenders, punching the ball and, you know, arguing with 40-year-old strikers up front who are right big lumps. Nice. Who I wouldn't have gone there. But no, that was my favourite game. Not because the game was great or anything. The game was, honestly, it was pretty bad, but it was just nice to see my nephew making his debut for that, yeah. So that's the one that holds the best memories for me.
Yeah, fantastic. Jace, yourself.
Yeah, well, mine will be an Arsenal game. And it was the Arsenal versus the MLS All-Stars a couple of years ago in San Jose. I got to go to that team. This is the only time I've ever seen the Arsenal play live. So definitely a very, very cherished memory. It was also when my love affair with Granit Xhaka came about, because if you've seen him play, you know that when he hits one of those long diagonals, the sound of the ball is different from a lot of the other players there. So I think that's when my love affair and my leanings towards always trying to protect him sort of started. But no, it was a great game. It's a great game. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah, mine's there's so many, but it's got to be, I suppose, last season when OG came over. And it's the first time ABW as a crew got together. We all met up, had lunch before the game. You know, Holick, Jeff, Raj, FK, Chris, you know, we were all there. And it was just a great day. And Jeff sorted us out a box as well. So not only did we all get to meet up before the game, but we actually got to watch the game together. You know, Fifey was there. It was just outstanding. This season, you know, we got together with Dom and, you know, we meet guys who listen to the podcast as well after the game or before the game. And, you know, this year, Neil was there. Carl was there. You know, you just genuinely can't beat it. You know, this podcast, the radio show, you know, interacting with the guys, you know, who listen in the chat box and stuff like that, and getting together the guys we podcast with. It's very special. It's very special.
I think it's the interaction and the people you go with the games that actually make the game special more than necessarily the match themselves. Obviously, absolutely, like cup finals and stuff are great and all the memories from that, but it's because you're with friends and you're enjoying the atmosphere and all that kind of thing. That's what really makes it.
No, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. It's the people you're with. Always, always. I'm going to take a quick question here. Unique 79. Why is it that rugby has a better VAR system than football? Everything stopped and double checked. Rugby, the game is stop start. You're able to do it. TMOs, the TV match officials, can look at off the ball incidents from while the game is going and bring the game back. It also communicates with the ground and with the referee, you know, clearly shows what's going on. It's on the big screens. It's much more of an interactive thing, but you're talking about very different sports, and the TMO covers the whole game, not just penalty sendings off and goals. It covers the whole game. And unless VAR is going to interact with the crowds, it is going to become more and more frustrating. I think some of the criticism of it is a little bit petty with VAR, but there's a lot of valid criticism as well. And when the air is sucked out of the ground and when play stops, football is such a, you know, a sort of on-the-go game. It's very difficult. It does spoil the spectacle. Who's next? Is it Jace or is it John?
You're in charge, mate.
Yeah, you're in charge. You tell us.
This is coming to an end, and I'm surprised I'm in charge of anything. To have the monkey running, you know, running the show is something I tend to confuses me. Right, okay, so we'll go to you, Jace, for this. Is this the start of the usual end of season winning streak?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I think these two performances are definitely something to build upon for how we play, you know, how we set up against teams, and really just the mentality with which we approach a match. I definitely think it's something that if we can keep this, especially against Milan on Thursday at home, have the fans that are in the stadium back the boys, then I definitely think it can be the start of a great run in and a little push and you know, maybe try to put some pressure on those above us. You know, I think fourth is still it's practically impossible. But you know, let's just make sure that we take each game one game at a time, and not try to do too much or look too far out, and just play each game that's in front of us. And I think that's how we can do. But I really hope it is, because I think, you know, I do think we have the talent to put a good run together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Question for everyone now. Start with you, John. Sure. Usama Zaka asks, you got £40 million to buy any one midfielder. Who will it be?
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, no messing about.
Jorginho from Napoli. There you go.
Ooh, nice. Jay.
He's muted. There you go.
What was the question again? Now I was so muted.
You've got £40 million to spend on any one midfielder. Who is it?
I don't know. I haven't played FIFA to know who has the highest rating right now. So, I mean,
Danny wants to sign Dave Hillier. That's a good one.
I don't know. 40 million for a midfield. I don't know. Probably Jean-Cyri Mikel. Is that
Jean-Michel Zeric?
Him too. Let's get both of them.
To be fair, Chimp, Neil and Sai were talking about Decore. The boy who played for Watford today. And I genuinely think he's a youngster. He could do very well. He'd be somebody I'd consider.
Yeah.
He would be, you know, he looks the part. I say Vieira-esque. He's tall, he's gangly, he's black, and he moves and he likes to go forward. And I don't mean that in any other way than that's why people would say that about him. But he looks like a player who could develop quite nicely and give you a little bit of bite. So he could be somebody we could look at. John, this is specifically for you from Sean Brody. John, is there any update on whether the sniper in the stands that kept taking Richarlison down has been caught?
No, I don't think so. My guess is that if anyone wants to catch the sniper, he will definitely be at the next Watford game that Richarlison's playing in. So keep an eye out for him. Because he's very good at his job, because he still hasn't been caught. Well, I say he's very good. He's kind of good at his job because he hits the target, but he's not finishing him off. So he's like, he's a good hitman that just can't quite finish. Yeah. I was about to be horrible about one of our players, and I was like, no.
Rubber bullets.
Got to be honest with you. I do tend to think the Watford are one of the diviest, dirtiest sides alongside Burnley this season that we've played.
It's a shame as well, because Richarlison is a good player. I think he could be a decent player as well.
But, you know, there are a couple of scum clubs we've played this season, and when they start shouting, same old Arsenal was cheating, my mind just goes bananas. I just think, what are you on about? Matthew Stern asks, Jace, do you think we should play Eddie Nketiah in the second leg against Milan?
I think I would like to see us maybe not have him start the match, but if we're up, you know, if we get an early goal there and go into halftime with like a 1-0 lead, it's 4-0 on aggregate. I definitely think I'd like to see him in the second half and see what he can do against some decent European competition for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. I do think, you know, we have to take the second leg seriously.
Yeah.
This is the one true chance to get into Champions League. Now, we've bottled everything else this season. I think it's play your strongest team each and every game. I've got to be honest with you, in Europa, we can't take this for granted. And John, I'm going to finish off with the last question to yourself. Neil Vergela asks, El Nen has been very good today. Should he play more?
I think it's match dependent, but yeah, I don't see why. I think he offers a lot for the team in terms of his running, his defensive work is pretty good. He's always there as an option for his midfield partners. He played a very nice through ball today, actually, for Kolasinac, who, when he squared it across for Aubameyang, and it was just a little bit too hard, but that ball in down the side was really good. So I think, depending on who you're playing, I wouldn't mind putting him in there. I actually quite like it when we play a midfield three of him, Xhaka and Ramsey. I think it gives Ramsey that freedom to get up and down a bit more. Ozil is always quite comfortable to play wide if he needs to anyway, and Elneny can come out and cover the fullback if you really need to, if Ozil is playing wide. So I'd give him games. Just basically, you just play the players that are in form, that are doing it on the pitch. You know,
easy peasy.
I think that's, you know, it's one of the sort of simple things in football. Nicky Wilson's, but Ian Wright's towers on eBay. that was a great shot today, wasn't it?
It was Phil Reeves. Thank you very much for supporting them, mate. That's it for today. Oh, actually, anything else you want to bring up, guys?
There is one thing I want to say, actually. It's not Arsenal related. It's actually about Davide Astore from Fiorentina. So I haven't been on since that sad news happened.
Yeah, go.
Fiorentina played today. Obviously, the funeral was last week. It was great scenes at the funeral. If you haven't seen it, have a look on Twitter. You can see amazing thousands and thousands of people turned out. But there was a beautiful moment on the 13th minute for his shirt number. The crowd all turned purple when Davide 13. But also, they won the game 1-0. And it was actually his replacement centre back who, I'm just going to check, I've got his name right.
Wow.
They stopped playing 13 minutes, didn't they? Everybody just stopped playing.
Victor Hugo came in, was Davide Astore's replacement at centre back today, and he scored the winning goal. It was really, really nice scenes. It was great.
Yeah, I got to apologise. I called him Daniel Astore on last week's radio show. I do apologise to him, but that was lovely to watch. And the fans singing at the funeral as well. I think it kind of just sums up, you know, we get wound up by football and we'll get carried away with it. And, you know, do we mean it? Of course we don't. You know, we don't want to see anybody get hurt. And that puts it in perspective. And unfortunately, you know, we saw the young guy, Udinese, pass away a couple of years ago, and some great scenes from Di Natale taking care of his, you know, supporting his family and stuff like that. And it really does put things in perspective.
There's been some really nice stuff at football this week, actually. And the story is just sad, but you saw all the things for him. Obviously, you saw Hector find the little girl who wanted his shirt. If you haven't seen that, guys, go search up Hector Bellerin. I think he's got a YouTube channel now. He's only got a couple of videos on there, but it's a great video of him finding the little girl who wanted his shirt and went and met her at her house, and her little brother. He even got a Valentine's card off her and everything. It was, it's just really nice things that sometimes football gets a little bit too precious, or fans do anyway, with certain stuff. And you see the nice side of it.
There was a lovely shot of Koscielny in the stand today, and he's holding his daughter, and he's alongside his mate. And his daughter and his mate, they were pulling faces at each other. She's a cutie pie, his daughter, you know, pretty little child. And I think that was another side of the lovelier side of the game. And, you know, we have to keep things into perspective and, take everything with a pinch of salt now and again. And, you know, we're as guilty as anybody else. You know, we get wound up by the game because it's so encompassing. But there you go.
If you want to laugh, go to the Pirates Instagram and check out the suit he's going to buy.
What was the score with the Pirates today?
I've got no idea what the score was, actually. He hasn't said, so.
They probably got humped by eight goals. Somebody did ask, where is Chris? Chris is currently getting humped on the football pitch after the fact. I mean, they've let in more goals than the Championship this season. And I mean, the whole Championship is ridiculous. That's it for today, guys. To the Twitter chat box, thank you ever so much. As usual, superb. You've been brilliant. Thank you for your support as always. Keep on coming back. We will be live straight after the Milan match on Thursday. John, it's yourself, Danny, and Josh, I think. Yeah,
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And we have on the podcast this week, we have Gav is making an appearance and Shovel from M People, and I'm on it as well, I think.
Yep.
So thank you all ever so much for supporting us. Look out for what we got happening down the line. Thumbs up, guys. Give us some thumbs up. Come on. We need some thumbs up. Do the
thumbs
boys
up for Mother's Day.
Thumbs up for Mother's Day. Yeah. And some 5-star iTunes. What do they call them?
Reviews, Jess. Reviews.
I've lost the will to live. 5-star iTunes reviews would not go amiss, guys. Come on. We've even got a Tottenham bloody a scum podcaster in Bethlehem in the iTunes League. And that's down to you. That's on you, guys. We turn up week in, week out. And that's right, Damien Cookan. Carpenter out. Guys, that's it. John, thank you ever so much.
Cheers, Jace.
Thanks.
Jace, you're a star. Thank you ever so much, mate.
Yeah, pal.
Right, that's it, guys. Take care. Good night. Good afternoon. Keep it Arsenal. 5-star iTunes reviews.
Thumbs up for Carpenter out. Thumbs up for Carpenter out. Thumbs up for Carpenter out.
Every 5-star iTunes review is a pin in Chris Carpenter's heart. Da 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 da.